Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value and making Wonderful Pistachios one of the highest protein nuts out there. But perhaps more than that, I love all of the flavors they have. Their sea salt and vinegar ones are my favorite when I'm craving that flavor, but still want to keep it healthy. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Wonderful Pistachios come in a variety of flavors, like chili roasted, honey roasted, smoky barbecue, and jalapeno lime, to name a few. Perfect for enjoying with family or friends and taking them with you on the go. Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. So fill up with a healthy snack when hunger strikes. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. That's wonderfulpistachios.com. Before we start, please check out our new podcast, Good Sleep. Have you ever noticed how a calm mind can really set the stage for a good night's sleep? That's the idea behind our new podcast, Good Sleep. Greg, our host from Optimal Relationships Daily, is here to help ease you into a peaceful night's rest with some positive affirmations. And these affirmations aren't just comforting, they can help ease anxiety and nurture positive thoughts, setting you up for true good sleep. So press play on Good Sleep tonight, because a good tomorrow starts with a good night's sleep. Just search for Good Sleep in your podcast app and be sure to pick the one from Optimal Living Daily. This is Optimal Living Daily, episode 3104, How to Get Good at Dealing with Massive Change, part 2, by Leo Babauta of zenhabits.net. And I'm Justin Mollick. Happy Saturday. Welcome back, or welcome for the first time if you're new here. This is where I read to you like a big ongoing audiobook, but from many different authors. And today being a continuation from yesterday, so I'd recommend listening to yesterday's episode first. But if you're all caught up, let's get right to part 2 and continue optimizing your life. How to Get Good at Dealing with Massive Change, part 2, by Leo Babauta of zenhabits.net. How we can shift how we respond to change and stress, continued. Number 4, relax into the beauty of the changing moment. From this wide open place, we can relax our resistant mind and just relax into the ever-changing moment. Notice the beauty of this change. Everything is moving, changing, shifting into a new moment. Nothing stays the same and nothing is really solid. It's flux, it's flow, it's the swirling ocean current of the universe. This is incredibly beautiful if we can relax and enjoy it. Number 5, practice compassion, gratitude, and joyful appreciation. From this relaxed place, we can start to practice 3 things. First, see if you can find compassion for yourself and others for the suffering and struggle you're going through. Send out a loving wish to all beings that they find peace. Second, practice gratitude. Can you be grateful for this moment? Can you be grateful for the change? For me, even with a jolting change like the death of my father or one of my best friends, along with the pain of loss, I could also feel gratitude that I had them in my life, which was an incredible gift. This doesn't mean you have to ignore the pain and stress. It just means noticing that both pain and gratitude can coexist in the same moment. And third, can you appreciate this moment for what it is? Appreciate its beauty, its swirling change, its wide openness, its heartbreaking gorgeousness. I often find joy in this appreciation for the universe as it is. And number 6, practice loving things exactly as they are. And along those lines, take a moment to love the ever-changing moment exactly as it is. It includes suffering, wounded beings lashing out at others, loss and pain, but also constant shifting, constant growth and degradation, constant moving into something new. You are one with the wholeness of the universe, co-creating it with all other beings and matter and energy, and it's something to be loved fiercely. This is the process I suggest you try. What happens here is that we open up to change instead of resisting it. We learn to love things as they are, including the change, rather than complaining about them. we learn to find appreciation and joy in the change rather than wishing things wouldn't change and being attached to our comfortable ways. Of course, we can't go through the whole process all the time, but it's worth going through step by step a few times, maybe one or two dozen times, until you feel like you have a physical understanding of it. With daily training, I can guarantee that something will shift in you. Daily training is the key. Going through the previous steps once or twice will help you learn it, but it won't really matter on a day-to-day basis in your life until you train in it. Daily training is the best method. Here's the training plan I recommend. Number one, sit for 5 minutes in the morning. Feel free to start with just 2 minutes and work your way to five. When 5 minutes is too short, extend it to 10. Practice the steps from before. Don't let yourself move for those 5 minutes. Just sit still and practice. Number two, practice during the day. After a week, in addition to the morning training, try to notice when you're stressed or resisting change. When that happens, think of it as a mindfulness bell that is calling on you to practice. Pause if you can and practice even for a few moments. You don't have to go through the whole process, just the parts that you have time for and that are most helpful to you in the moment. Journal how these two trainings go and share with someone else. Number three, intermediate, give yourself some discomfort training. After you do the first two trainings for at least a month, and 2 months is even better, set aside 5 or 10 minutes each day for discomfort training. For example, difficult exercise or a cold shower or a writing session every morning. This session is supposed to be more than mildly uncomfortable, but not crazy uncomfortable, somewhere in the middle. And as you put yourself in this discomfort, practice the steps from before. It's more challenging than morning meditation, but doable. And number four, advanced. After you practice for 6 months to a year, go on a week-long meditation retreat. It'll deepen your practice. Or go through a week of drastic change that you put yourself into on purpose. For example, purposely travel around the world with very little, like less than 8 pounds in a small backpack. Or go on a week-long hike using the ultralight approach. The point of this kind of training is to give yourself an extended period of practicing with the method from before, not to see how tough you are or anything like that. Note, it's possible life will give you an unexpected month or more of incredible change, losing a loved one while changing jobs or getting an illness while dealing with financial problems. If that happens, well, think of it as a gift of advanced training. So that's the training. I recommend just the first two steps for most people. I think it will make a world of difference. The next two steps are if you want to master the method, which isn't necessary to see some benefits. This is a form of self-care. In addition, other forms of self-care are also recommended, like going for a walk, exercise, taking a bath, doing yoga, eating well, getting sleep, having a support network to talk things out with, getting out in nature, and creating space for solitude and silence. These are all important. If you go deep into this practice, you'll see some profound shifts. I know I have. Quote, if we're willing to give up hope that insecurity and pain can be eliminated, then we can have the courage to relax with the groundlessness of our situation. This is the first step on the path. Pema Chodron. You just listened to part two of the post titled, How to Get Good at Dealing with Massive Change by Leo Babauta of zenhabits.net, and I'll be right back with my commentary. Thank you again to Leo. I'm sure the practice he suggested can work. I think the difficulty is actually doing it, right? It takes time and work, and usually we're busy. Adding one more thing to our plates, as nice as the practice or the benefits of the practice sounds, we just don't make it happen. There was a period in my life after business school when I wasn't quite sure what I was going to be doing, when I took some time off to volunteer up in the Rocky Mountains at a meditation retreat center, and that was a bit of a reset for me. I was able to practice mindfulness and meditation many hours a day, And fun fact, I attended a class by Pema Chodron, who was quoted at the end of this article today. But anyway, that reset gave me the opportunity to build a meditation practice into my day and then keep it. Now, that might not be possible for you, but when trying to implement something like this, maybe you can get someone to do it with you, a support network, or find something extra enjoyable that makes you actually want to do that practice. We need that motivation to implement some of these things that we hear on this show. So hopefully you can find what best motivates you. But that should do it for today. Have a great weekend, hopefully ready to take on some change. And I'll be back tomorrow where your optimal life awaits.